So what is the purpose of prophecy? And is it wrong for someone to be preaching health and wealth and prosperity? Let's study the scriptures in Micah chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. The Bible says, "I will surely assemble all of you, Jacob. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together like sheep in the fold, like a flock in the midst of its pasture. They will be noisy with men. The breaker goes up before them. They break out, pass through the gate, and go out by it. So their king goes on before them and Yahweh at their head." We've been journeying through the book of Micah together, and we've reached one of my favorite parts in this whole book, because there's a messianic title here that often gets overlooked or ignored, but it's incredibly powerful. Back in verse number 12, a prophecy is being given. God is saying to Israel, "I will assemble all of you, Jacob." Now, some like to say that this is a false prophet speaking, because the tone has switched abruptly from repentance and coming judgment now to something that is beautiful and precious. But the truth of the matter is that the people who are always preaching judgment, doom, and gloom are just as much a false prophet as the people who are always preaching health, wealth, and prosperity. Micah here is not delivering his own words. He's delivering the words that God has commissioned him to deliver. And so, as such, there is an equal balance of living right and the consequences that come when we reject what God has called us to do, and the blessings that come when we accept what God has called us to do. So this isn't a false prophet that's teaching here. That's a very Pharisaical view. And we're seeing a lot of that in the church today. Just because someone has a propensity to preach the good news of the gospel doesn't make them a false teacher or a false prophet. And just because someone has a propensity towards focusing on some of the deeper and more, shall we say, dark? It's not darkness, it's just heavy. They have a propensity toward focusing on the heavy things in the scripture doesn't mean that they are accurate. Preaching that is void of good news is not gospel. And preaching that is void of man's responsibility to follow the instructions of God, to serve him and to love him with all of their heart and their soul and their mind, and the consequences that sin brings, is not gospel. Gospel is equally truth as it is love, because you cannot love somebody lest you tell them the truth. And you're not really being truthful if you're not delivering a loving message as well. It's both, not one or the other. So Micah isn't an all doom and gloom type preacher. He's not all judgment. He's also preaching here salvation and blessing as a part of God's message. So the prophecy goes on in verse number 12 that God will assemble all of you, O house of Jacob. He will gather the remnant of Israel. God says, "I will put them together like sheep in the fold." We're taking a look at this prophecy here, and I'm jotting down some notes. I am interested in the word assemble, because the implication there is that there will be a dispersion. There can't be a bringing back together or an assembly unless there has been a tearing apart. And truly, we've seen that come into reality many times in history. Now, depending on the translation that you're reading, there is a specific city mentioned in some and different in others. It's not in my translation that I read, but maybe it's in yours, where God says, "I will surely gather the remnant of Israel and put them together like sheep of Bozrah." Now, there are two different cities called Bozrah, but the one that would be referenced in the translation you might be reading is a Moabite city that was renowned for its massive flocks of sheep. And so maybe that's like a pun or a common saying, a colloquialism in this region of the world. Like, we might say, like the corn of Indiana. You know, everywhere you drive there's corn. And so people in the United States may quickly recognize, okay, it's it's abounding. And that's what your translation is suggesting. Nothing deeper to that, just a focus on there's going to be a multiplication. It's symbolic for when God brings Israel back together, when he restores the remnant, that they are going to multiply and they're going to be many. In fact, we read that they will be noisy with men. The remnant is not just going to be a few. Sometimes when we say the word remnant, we think that it's just a tiny little group. But God says those who remain, the remnant, are going to be brought together from all around the different parts of the world to one place, and they are going to multiply. Just as Bozra, the city, was known for its multiplying flocks, so will Israel be known for the multitude of people that will be assembled together like sheep under the guidance of a shepherd. Now, it's important to know that this prophecy here, like I like to underline prophecy with blue in my Bible. Maybe we'll do a video on upcoming on different colors that you can use to help your eyes readily recognize. But I like to highlight this in blue because this is prophetic here. But this prophecy has not yet been fully realized. Otherwise, that prophecy would have come to an end when Israel was removed again and again and again from the land that God gave to her. While we can see this prophecy building and we can see the pieces coming together, this prophecy will come to its ultimate fulfillment in the millennial reign of Christ. But here's my favorite part. When we get to verse number 13, maybe your Bible has the letter B capitalized, because this is a more obscure but no less awesome picture of the Messiah. Verse 13 reads, "The breaker goes up before them. They break out, pass through the gate, and go out by it. So their king goes on before them, and Yahweh at their head." The breaker is the picture here, and some people mistranslate that as another picture of the enemy coming in, but a comparison with other like scriptures from Old Testament to New Testament reveals this is a picture of the Messiah, of Jesus the Christ. The breaker would remove all of the obstacles in the path toward a flock's journey to green pastures. That's what the breaker does. Now, prophecy in the Old Testament was always to point the way or prepare the way for the coming Messiah, for Jesus the Christ. You can see in Genesis chapter 22 where Abraham receives a picture of Christ. Moses is given prophecy. He's given the law as well. Samuel is given prophecy to prepare Israel for the coming Messiah. We're studying now one of the prophets who is writing down their prophecy that God is giving them. We're preparing the way for the Messiah. That's what prophecy is for. And so this prophecy for Israel is not only a promise that God will ultimately bring them back to this land and reveal himself as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the creator of heaven and earth. But this is also a preparation for the reign of Christ, the millennial reign and its coming. Back in verse number 12, this shepherd, the breaker, is making them noisy among men. This implication here is slight head nod to something that almost all of the prophets make mention of in one way or another, that the Messiah is going to be a world-uniting leader that everyone will see. Isaiah and others are hinting at, though they did not fully realize, that the gospel, that Jesus was going to be for the world. This type of a notion would have been very unpopular for a Jewish prophet, because the Jews regarded themselves as uniquely elect. And while that part may be true, they also viewed themselves pridefully as better than everyone else around them. So for a prophet to hint at that we're going to be among men, that others are going to get to be a part of this, is not a Jewish notion. Again, it goes to the truth of the fact that God wrote a book, that the way they received this is the same way Paul received what he was writing in Galatians 1:12. I didn't learn this from men. I wasn't taught this. This came from the Holy Spirit. I'm delivering to you the word that God gave to me. They're gathered together. They're noisy among men. They're like the flock of Bozra. They're multiplying. They're in a fold. They're in the fold. They now have safety. Another picture of the millennial reign of Christ, that the shepherd will gather them and watch over them and protect them like sheep in a fold. The breaker goes up before them in verse number 13. The breaker is one who brings ultimate deliverance because he breaks out. See, this is a beautiful thing about prophecy. If prophecy is to prepare the way for Jesus Christ, then we can draw some inspiration and application from these Old Testament pictures, and we can see some parallels in our own lives today. Jesus Christ, our Messiah, our Redeemer, our King, as a part of the church, is the breaker. He breaks out of the bondage of sin, just as he will break Israel out of the bondage that her many descendants will exist in and have existed in multiple places around the world. The breaker breaks out of bondage. Ultimately, the breaker breaks us out of sin. This is a picture of salvation here. We're held in the bondage and in the stronghold of sin, and the breaker breaks us out. He liberates us. He frees us. He's the breaker. He goes up before us. The breaker breaks through things. As I mentioned, the shepherd would remove all obstacles in the path of the sheep heading toward a green pasture or toward the fold where they would find safety. The breaker breaks through things that no one else can. So not only is this a salvation thing, this is also a situational thing, that you can trust the breaker with your eternity and you can trust him with every moment of every day. He's the breaker. And so no matter what may be in front of you, you can have a breakthrough if you're following, do you see it? The breaker. How awesome is this? He breaks out, he breaks through. I wrote, he breaks up the strongholds of evil. From the walls of Jericho to all that we see in John's revelation, we serve the breaker. And ultimately, it is his prerogative and his mission to break up the strongholds of evil because it's his nature. Our King breaks out, breaks through, breaks up. And while there are obstacles that are set up in his path by evil, while there are obstructions that are placed in his way and in our way as on our journey of following him, while there is opposition that actively stands in his way, he is the breaker. I don't want to end this study. Let's look at some of those verses real quick. Can we just journey out of Micah and see some of the comparisons? I marked a few of them. Psalm chapter 2, verse 2 says, "The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against Yahweh and against his anointed." There are people who have set themselves up as opposition against God and against God's people and against God's purposes, but I serve the breaker. I love this in John chapter 10, verse number 3 and 4. To him, the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he brings all his own out, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Do you see this? That there are obstructions set up in your path by evil forces to hinder you from following Jesus, yet he is the breaker, and we follow him. And he knows us, and we know him, and we hear his voice. Ultimately, in Revelation chapter 11, this is one of my favorites here. Let's just flip back. Don't you love the sound of Bible pages turning. I highly recommend getting a hard copy of scripture that you can highlight and take notes in. I have this one marked. The seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever." He's the breaker. He's the Messiah. He's the King. And what a beautiful, beautiful picture for us as we're ending chapter 2 of Micah. The breaker goes up before them. They break out. They pass through the gate and go out by it. So their king goes on before them. We saw that. Do you remember? John chapter 10. Their king goes on before them and Yahweh at their head. The day is coming, friends, when Jesus Christ will rule this world. He owns it. It belongs to him. He created it. But he's waiting for the time when his Father allows him to come and set up his kingdom here. I can't wait for that day. That's going to be an incredible day. But for today, what a beautiful picture. What a beautiful prophecy to prepare the way for our coming King. What a beautiful picture of Israel's Messiah. What an incredible promise that we're seeing God fulfill even now. So our journal questions for today. Here are the things that we're thinking through, meditating on, and praying through as we study the end of Micah chapter 2. Here it is. When you are sharing the message of Scripture, are you only sharing the good parts? Or are you only sharing the bad parts? Or are you sharing a balanced message of repentance and redemption? There's bad news. The bad news is that where sin is present, something has to die. The bad news is if you reject Jesus Christ, that you'll spend eternity in hell. The bad news is that if you follow the ways of sin, that destruction is coming. It's a cancer that kills, and it's an evil that destroys. That's the bad news. The good news is that Jesus Christ is the breaker. And that's kind of question number 2 as well. Is he yours? Do you find yourself trapped in a stronghold of sin? Do you find yourself continually locked in bondage? Do you need deliverance? Are you looking for hope? Do you need some inspiration? Do you need some good news? Here it is. Is Jesus Christ your Savior? John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever," it's not just Israel, it's you, it's "whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Jesus came, he was born of a virgin, he died on the cross, he took the keys of death and hell, he broke the chains of sin. He said, "O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory?" He died for you. He shed his blood. On the third day, he rose again. He is God, and he loves you. He died for you. He rose for you. He paid the penalty of sin for you, and he's given to you the gift of salvation. All you have to do is accept it. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Follow him and find freedom. You're following the breaker who removes all obstacles, destroys all opposition, and creates safety and gives great blessing? Or are you rejecting the message of Jesus? The choice is yours. What will you do with the breaker?